I was in a power rock Christian band all through high school.
Cool.
Overtly, whoa. You identified yourself with the Lord in your music?
We played in church.
Mm.
It was awesome.
Did you have a name?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Sure you are.
What it was.
Come on.
No.
You going to make me guess?
We were called COP. We were called COP, and we tried to keep it at COP.
Citizens on Patrol.
Nope. Close.
Christians of
Purgatory.
Personality.
Both close.
Crapping on ponies.
That's why we didn't want to share it with other people, because it was Company of Praise. Yeah. My go-to outfit was
Company of Praise.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
What do you know about Alan Holdsworth? Have you ever heard anything by Alan Holdsworth in your life?
That name doesn't ring a bell.
I saw a guitar magazine. I don't know if it's Guitar Player, Guitar for the Practicing Musician. I saw a guitar magazine on the stand at the Barnes & Noble, and it still has Alan Holdsworth on the cover. I don't know whose kitten this guy saved from a tree, but he is always on the cover of guitar magazines. And I don't know a thing the guy's ever done.
Oops, sorry. I loaded up his website, which is therealalanholdsworth.com.
Except no substitution.
And it's just, he really just goes for it on his homepage. He just rocks out, and I kind of liked it.
Was he burn? He's burning right on the homepage?
Yeah. I thought, like, it took me by surprise because I haven't figured out how this Skype thing works yet. I thought one of you had queued it up on a CD player, and it was just blowing my mind. And then I realized it was just the website.
I think, is he famous for his reach?
Maybe his haircut, by the look of it.
I remember his haircut seeming like it wasn't done by a professional.
Definitely not.
Do you know that cover I'm talking about, though? There's like that. So, hey, first of all, to your point, Scott, I think yes. I think there's a repeating. It's almost like, you know, how magazines have their fashion issue and their travel issue and stuff like that. It's like they're going to have their annual Edward Van Halen issue.
Well, there's a rotating stable of guys. You know, there's your Yngwie Malmsteens and your...
Satriani.
Steve Vai.
What's the guy who plays the Strat?
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
No, Alex. He's another one of the horrible, like, over-musician guys. Nah, anyway. Those kind of guys, you know, they're just sort of on a rotation. They just call them up out of the trailer. They live in the basement of the magazine.
But there's always the photo of, like, the guy, you know, that guy who's got the classical guitar, and he's got it all, like, the neck all high up in the air.
Oh, yes.
And he's doing the
reach.
The body
is way too close to his chin.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the octave reach.
Yeah, there's wearing it way too high. Yeah. It's a little fruity. And then with the left hand, from the index finger to the pinky, he's doing like 9 frets. He's doing some chord, like it's a chord. We're still figuring out what to call it.
Is that like the guitar player version of how much can you bench? Like what's your spread? How far can you spread it?
What's your reach, Alan?
What's your reach? Oh, I can hit an octave.
Yeah. It's not big. Yeah, I like to just hit harmonics on the 3, 5, 7, 12. You know, it's pretty intense, and like you don't get it the first time, but yeah.
Whatever. They had to slow it down in recording. People didn't hear the notes.
It's no big deal. Engineer just said it's simply the most mind-blowing thing he'd ever heard before. But, you know, whatever. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Did you guys listen to... I assume both of you read guitar magazines. Did you also watch the videos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I had the cassette. I had the cassette for Brian May.
All right.
Oh, that was... I had that cassette. Yep.
I can still play the solo from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, I was a drum guy when I was in of that age that I would get the videos. So it was all the Omar Hakim was a serious recording artist of
what
the
about
day.
Billy No Meter Cobham? Were you a follower of Billy No Meter Cobham?
Sure.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to always say it with "no meter" in quotes in the middle.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means he's
playing from his own sheet of music, Scott. There's no meter that can define what Billy No Meter Cobham is doing.
That's an awesome nickname.
It's a fantastic nickname. I'm gonna go with Merlin. No whole note rest, man.
Like you can't fuck resting.
No, I see it. I read it. I read the whole note rest, but I'm not gonna acknowledge it.
I'll be Adam. Quarter note, half note. Le cigar.
That's pretty good.
What do you want to do?
That's pretty good.
What do you want to do, Scott?
I gotta go with Scott. Treble cleft palate.
Oh, that's nice.
You went punny. Oh, I changed
mine. Yeah, I'm going to change mine, too. I had a big chic phase. So I think I'm going to go with Merlin, 1-Eanda, 2-Eanda, 3-Eanda, 4-Eanda, man.
All right.
Oh, that's pretty good.
My new one is Adam, pass the goddamn butter. Le cigar.
What's that?
Is that a funk? Is that a funk thing? What is that?
It's something that you learn when you're learning to when you're learning rhythm, like polyrhythms, and you're trying to play
paradiddles.
Trying to play three, four on one with one hand, and then 4-4 on the other hand, and it sounds like this. Pass the goddamn butter. Pass the goddamn butter. Pass the goddamn butter. That's what you learn, and it helps you through it right away. It's sticky.
Did you find, you know, that your butter consumption went up during that time?
I just wanted to pass goddamn things. I didn't care what they were. Anything with two syllables, I wanted to pass that goddamn thing.
I think anything that you repeat to yourself is going to sink in. So maybe, you know, maybe just what made you want to dine out more.
Awkward cake.
You guys want a quick piece of awkward cake?
Mm-hmm. Do it.
I was in, you ever had that phase you go through in high school where you're really more into like getting a group of four people and then coming up with a name than you are to actually, you know, practicing? And
yes.
It's very important to like come up with logos and figure out what songs you would cover.
Yeah, it's the male coat of arms disease.
Yes. It's something that came right on the heels of D&D for me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Went straight in fact, at the time, I think the fake band that I wasn't in was actually called Holy Grail because we liked the Monty Python movie so much.
Wow.
And of course, for the D&D reference. So around that time, and I wanted to be, I was a really like beyond like just middling guitar player. But the other guy, actually a guy who played sax in the school jazz band that I was in, I played guitar in jazz band, and he was this really widely acknowledged in Pasco County, Frank was very widely acknowledged as like one of the more shredding metal artists, you know, in high school. And he's like, hey, listen, you know, we're doing this thing at my church, you know, and do you want to like be in the band? And I was like, you know, sure, why not? Yeah, sounds great. So, what he didn't make clear to me was that it would be we'd be playing in the youth fellowship hall of his church. What he didn't tell me was we wouldn't have a chance to rehearse until 10:30 a.m. on that Sunday morning. He furthermore did not tell me that, it's fine if I bring my guitar, but he's mostly there for me to be the front man.
Nice.
Now, this is a singer?
Yeah. No. Think like 1985. Think Klaus Meine. Think David Lee Roth. Think, you know, hair metal.
Okay. So like the charismatic band leader singing crazy guy.
Yeah. So can I just toss out like a few of the tunes that I, with my skills and range... Still Loving You by the Scorpions.
That's hot.
Do you remember that one?
Sure, of course, yeah.
If we'd go again all the way from the start. Except I can't sing it in falsetto. I'm in a church hall. Sister Christian by Night Ranger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we also did You Can Still Rock in America. And we got to rehearse for what amounted to about 2 hours to learn about 12 songs.
Why were you guys playing like crappy rock covers?
Scott, I don't know how old you are, but that's the oeuvre. This is
it's what people did.
I'm not going to apologize. I grew up in Central Florida and I had 3 Night Ranger records, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing.
I guess I should say I shouldn't have emphasized.
What were you listening
part.
To? Were you listening just, to like what, like Bud Powell? I mean, like what were you listening to?
Oh, I was into the White Lion. The Warrant.
Europe.
I didn't like the Europe. They were a little too keyboard heavy for me. Mm-hmm. I liked the, the hair metal. Like one step worse than what you were listening to.
Yeah, I always admired that Kelly Keegi would come and set up his drums kind of sideway on stage.
Why is that? Rock guys are always named lady names.
Hmm. Any examples?
Kelly. Kelly. That's all I got.
Nikki. Nikki Six.
Nikki.
Yeah. Nikki. Judy. I bet there's a lot of Judy. The one from Kiss.
Yeah. Yep.
Judy. Judy Dragon.
So how did the performance go?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Scott. It did not go well.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
First of all, the crowd was gratefully was completely indifferent. And they filed in, and it was a lot of that. It's kind of what you'd expect for the folks who would come to a church fellowship hall at 2 on a Sunday. There's a lot of that kind of Belinda Carlisle sort of dancing, like while we're playing Scorpion covers. And it was a bloodbath. It went very badly. There were a couple times where, like, in the middle of, like, the first verse, we had to just stop because it was... yeah. Yeah. No, because, you know, and, the if the drummer doesn't really super know the song, then, you know... There's going to be train wrecks.
That's humiliating when the band has to stop in front of a real audience. That just sucks. It happens a lot with young musicians.
Yeah, and even the greatest lover of rock is not going to accept the excuse that you only had 2 hours to practice.
It's true.
They don't understand. They're there to rock and love the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, my particular story revolving the performance in a church was actually a part of a battle of the bands. It was all like Metallica. You know, I was that age. Metallica, Use Your Illusion had just come out. So we were heavy on the Guns N' Roses and Metallica covers. And just as it was probably 15 minutes, we were about to go on, the minister asked, could we maybe do something about the lyrics? Because they weren't necessarily so friendly for that environment. So could we maybe just put some lords and some gods in there? Change it up.
Are you serious?
Singing. Yeah. No, absolutely. We had to do that. It was a battle of the bands. We came in fifth out of five.
Is that last?
That's not that's not that bad.
And I didn't know it was going to be taking place in a church either. This came as a surprise to me. It all became clear. Just like all of a sudden, where the fuck am I? I don't know what I don't know what this building is. Because I hadn't really been in a church before.
Let's have breakfast for dinner.
I had fingerless gloves when I was a douchey drummer. I had Zildjian.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, I didn't ever play with them, but for the first year that I was drumming, that first Christmas came around and everything I got was any possible accessory that Guitar Center would sell my relatives for the nascent drummer.
What about your band, Scott? Scott, you were in a band. We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling to remember what the name was. I seem to remember it was an acronym.
That's right. It was called Major. No. That was. Have I ever told you about the secular band I was in?
No, I was just gonna ask you if your non secular drummer had fingerless gloves, but now I'm already interested in knowing about your secular band. Because really, that's so important today to have a separation between church bands and state bands.
The irony here is that the church band that I was in was populated by metal guys who were cool. Like, they were cool, older, they were church-going. This was their way to play the music that they liked to play. But then in the practice sessions, they could go kind of hard rock with each other and have a good time. I mean, this is when I was playing a Candy Apple Red BC Rich bass. So to give you a little sense of my musical heritage, the guitar player and the drummer were both very classically heavy metal, fingerless gloves, tank top sweatshirts, hair like short on the sides, long in the back, very, very late 80s mullet.
You described them as having the kind of the piled high, deliberate hair of somebody who had thought a lot about metal.
Yeah, that's right. Often accompanied by a hair band to help keep that hair high, like a souffle.
But only as high as the suburbs would allow, right? I mean, it wasn't like glam. You weren't in a glam band or anything. You were still.
I'm gonna be honest with you. This wasn't the suburbs. This was the country, and so it being the country, shit got weird. So, you know, it was pretty high. The funny thing though is that was the church band, and then the secular band that I was in, where we played like. We played some originals that were pretty great, and then
do you remember any of the titles?
One's called Melissa. I have a tape here somewhere. If I had a tape
Melissa,
player,
like
I'd play
the
it for you.
Like the really you have a, still have a cassette of it?
Yeah, we had a song called "Won't You Come With Me." I forget the other one, but we in that band, our fashion was slacks.
You mean like a little bit dressed up?
And then we tuck in a nice shirt, and we'd be pretty clean cut.
Huh?
Was it still? This wasn't a metal band then?
It was like a rock band. I mean, I was into Clapton at the time, and the bass player was into Zappa, and so we kind of met halfway and did like Chili Peppers and Talking Heads, maybe something like that.
God, I remember just the question, who are your references? That was big in the band, in the garage band days, right? I mean, I remember being approached by a couple of other older guys in my school to be in their band, and they said, who are your references? And I didn't know. What did I say? I said, I think I said Chili Peppers and probably Nirvana, because those were the bands that I'd heard of.
That's good. That's a good safe thing. And the problem is, like, you want to get the right balance, because in my experience, like, if you cite the wrong influence, you know, game over.
Yeah. You know, eventually they taught me about it's just so much about music and all of the bands that I would grow never to care about ever. bands like Live and Dinosaur Jr.
And, you know, it's a shame. Live didn't have shirts. And so they had to always play shirtless. I don't know if you know about this. They're from Pennsylvania.
They're from my hometown.
And they didn't have shirts there. Scott, did you have shirts in your band? Obviously, you tucked them in.
We had shirts. We might have had the only shirts, though. It might have been by virtue of our shirtiness that they had to go shirtless.
I was gonna say I don't want to make you unhappy, because I know you know you seem like you've got a good heart, but you might have had Live shirts. And maybe that's why they were so upset in those videos.
God, this is going to make some awkward reunions.
They had like a 40 watt light bulb going around, and there was a lot of histrionics, and it looked like maybe they like were going to cry, and then they didn't have shirts.
I'll bring it up to them at the next reunion of all York bands,
all the York, secular York bands. So what about now? Ween is from Pennsylvania too, right? Aren't they from like outside of Philadelphia?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Where's New Hope? Where is that?
I don't know. There's a lot of towns in Pennsylvania.
Are you sure you're from Pennsylvania?
Do you know all of the times that you've made your significant other sit through 3 minutes of the given goofy band of your choice to get to the one part that you think is totally going to hook her?
Oh, totally.
Just jump to the part.
It never works. I mean, how many times can I make my wife listen to Kid Charlemagne and she still doesn't like Steely Dan? I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's a lady thing. I think it's a, you know, I think if you've got, I don't know what it is, if it's an ovary thing, a fallopian thing. I totally agree with you, but I do it all the time. Here's a good part. You know, and she just wants to check her email, you know, and I'm making her listen to a hi-hat.
But they'll always start bitching about something during the part that you want them to hear, right? Am I right?
Yes, fellas. That's totally. Just when their attention drifts.
Yeah.
And then that's you got to rewind and everybody's mad.
What if we wrote a song? What if we just wrote a song called The Good Part?
Oh, so it would be like the best part. It'd be like the best part from like all the good songs.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, maybe it's a medley, or maybe it's just we've scientifically studied all of the little, you know, rim shots and funny hi-hat riffs and goofy backwards guitar solos and accidental microphone pickups that people identify as the good part of a song. Mm-hmm. And we figure out, you know, what's the thread that binds all of these together in their good partedness, and then we take that and we make something from there.
I think we could do that.
Well, I think if we're selling, what do you call it? Scott's Pieces and Parts. What's your program called? Song Bits.
Songparts.biz.
I think a lot of that is we take the stats for that, and that's going to make it clear. Some people are going to buy Running with the Devil just for whoa, wow, you know, and I think that's going to have to be something that becomes a motif, you know.
Yeah, I like that. Half a second of guitar solo in Are You Experienced, where it goes woo, like kind of sounds kind of like feedbacky, but that's like kind of the only part I like about that song.
Yeah, I like that part in Stairway to Heaven where it goes bugada bonga 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 dong gong.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, I love the guitar solo in what's the Led Zeppelin song that's like do 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 do.
Jamaica. Yeah, I know. And where it kind of breaks into the Mardi Gras, like it sounds like
a
Mardi Gras.
That's great.
Yeah,
the whistle. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just a whistle.
Oh, like on Bad Girls by Nana Summer.
Oh, if it's if we're talking whistle, then how about Guns N' Roses' Civil War, which is the best part of the song?
Is that the one where he doesn't like immigrants?
No. Not sure that's it, but it's the one where he whistles when the ants go marching in at the end. What's so civil about war anyway?
Well, he's wise. He's wise beyond his bandana.
I'm a professional voice actor.
I used to be a terrible, impatient, you know, drive with your wiener kind of guy when I was younger. I'd listen to music really loud, and it was very important to me that people heard the music I was listening to, and like I'd rewind to a certain point, like for when I got to the light, to make sure like the bridge was playing, you know. And did you ever do that? Did you ever
no.
rewind? Did you ever rewind so that the right part of the song was playing when you arrived to pick somebody up or something?
I drive around listening to jazz, so I always turn the music down when I'm stopped.
So there wasn't really a good place in it.
No, I'd just rather the people next to me didn't hear my music.
Beg your pardon. Could I borrow some grape upon? Squaddle bebop. Scop bop bop. Bloop bloop.
So Adam, then you're a big jazz guy. So when you drive, do you do like the air drums and the everything with your fingers? And...
Oh hell yes, yes. I play my car like Dizzy Gillespie played, you know, whatever.
With your cheeks puffed out.
Okay, that toll is going to be about $3.
What? I think we're where we need to be to start looking at the soprano sax again. I think it's been a long time, but I think there's some horns that could come back around and could maybe help people.
So like the hot sax solo from like I've Had the Time of My Life.
Could be that. Now, who did that? Who did that song?
I don't remember.
From that movie. Is that from Top Gun?
No, it's from Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty
sure.
Dancing.
It's right. The duet.
Right.
I couldn't tell you the people who actually sang it, but it's a pretty famous sax solo, I think. A canonical one from the late 80s.
Careless Whisper be another one.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah. Now that would be to see my Prius coming down the road, and then you know you're taking a little too long at the red light, and then behind you.
Kind of, are you thinking? A little bit of Wham coming out of the dash.
Does he want me to go, or should we have sex right here?
Hands in a derby.
There's a famous video out there, and I don't know who it is. I want to say the drummer. It's a drummer from like a hair metal band, I think. But the other guitar player in my old band, Mike, used to talk about this video, this famous video where... we'll cut this out, but a video of this one guy, and he had this very, very deep New York accent. He'd tell you how to, very important to set up your drums right, and one of the things he was obsessed with was, you got to put your cymbals way up high so you don't look like a faggot.
Au contraire, my friend. That's right. See? Was that major seventh? What do you got? What do you got? Major seventh there?
I keep a major seventh in my pocket. That's it.
I love the idea, though, of taking the data that we've gathered from songparts.biz and then using that aggregate information in different interesting ways. So we've got a couple of ideas already. The best part, our song. That's our song.
The good part.
The good part, sorry. The good part.
I think it's also, can I say two things, Scott Simpson? Two things. First of all, I think any part where you find yourself making like a juju sound to like sing along, like I say, it could be something like again with the Led Zeppelin, or it could be like where you play the drums on the dashboard. So that could be like In the Air Tonight, you know?
Totally.
Right? Is that not the best part of the song? You sit there and listen to all that bullshit about him and like his friend and whatnot, and it's about drowning, or it's his marriage. But then, right? Are you waiting for that one fill? That's the whole song.
I heard that is about a guy who was in front of him in the grocery store in the 15 items or less aisle had 17 items. Then he invited him into his concert and sang that song to him in the front row.
He met him in the line?
He never met him. He never met him. The guy just had 17 items in his cart. Colin sent his driver after the guy to get his name and info. Guy got a free ticket in the mail. Feels like, wow, luckiest day of my life. Goes to the show. Collins comes out. He's like, I've got a special song for you. Sings In the Air Tonight.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a gifted guy, and he's got a very large face, and he puts it on his album covers. And, you know, he was a pretty good drummer. He had a beard for a while, and he sang like Peter Gabriel. And so that's why they invited him into the band. But he had a lot of problems in his marriage. And then there's the Gate. Adam, how did you feel about the Gate in the 80s? Did you? Because my feeling is he was almost single-handedly responsible for over-gating snares.
I agree with you, but I want to hear more of your thoughts about it.
Yeah. Well, see, I heard. Okay, so what I heard was he was getting divorced, right? And I heard that he was, at the time, he'd been drinking a lot, and he was a lifeguard. And there was a guy who was literally drowning. But basically, I guess it had been somewhere like near a grocery store. And so I don't know if it was something where he'd met the guy. I know there was a limo involved. And I think at one point he actually picked the guy out of the audience to come and play the guitar on stage. And that guy was Bono.
Wow. That is that's awesome, because it sort of takes my half of the story that I heard and the half of the story that you heard, and together it makes a better story.
Story parts.
Do you like Vampire Weekend?
Oh, God, they make me angry.
No, I know you don't like them, Merlin, but yeah. I genuinely enjoy their music. I mean, it's not like on constant rotation in my CD player.
It's catchy. It's very, very, very catchy.
It's a solid somewhere between 3.5 and 4 stars in my book.
Yeah.
The last time I liked a band that I would see on Saturday Night Live, for instance, and I'm just like aging myself by so many years, but it would probably be Arcade Fire. Like a band that has a name like Vampire Weekend or Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
I think the Arcade Fire was my last one that I actually went to a show. Because I'm not with it. I'm doing air quotes as I
have you checked
this,
out
I'm
have
not.
You checked out Stapler Replacement yet?
No, are they good?
They're pretty good. They're not quite as like Afro pop. They're more like Cubo disc.
more like Cubo a number two. More like a number two Ticonderoga.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big Chief Notebook. Yeah. Yep. They're pretty good.
Have you guys heard the DJ Trapper Keeper?
I heard his old band, which was MC Data Center. The previous
How was that?
It was good. It didn't have the metric converter, so I wasn't that into it.
He did that thing called in Canada, Mead. Yeah. I remember that. That was hot.
And they would do that over an 808.
Yeah.
Peachy folder.
I hate lo-fi.
Did you guys were you ever into Scratch and Sniff?
Oh, they were great. I saw them in 82.
Yeah, I remember, God, what was that album? Pizza? Was that the album that I really loved?
Yeah. And Polyester Sweater.
Yes. Oh, God, that was great.
And finally...
Oh, the name of the band. I never told you guys what the name of this band was.
Was it an acronym?
Major D. It's called Major D.
You're kidding, right?
No, it was Major D.
Like Major, kind of like Major Dad?
Huh. What's that?
Yeah, you know, I was briefly now they call it hip hop. Back then they called it rap. And I was in a Pete Townsend a tribute hip hop band called Suspended D.
that's smart. So there was never any resolution.
No. You could pull it back to. No, exactly. You pass it on to my brother D5, but you got to land on the root, which was, of course, the DJ. And when he left, there was a lot of irresolution.
Huh.
Jesus Christ, that's not funny.
Musical jokes.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
There's a pair of pants that I saw in a magazine in about 1982. That
That's a police song.
Is that right?
That is.
How does it go?
There's a pair of pants. A lot of bass. Anyway, go ahead.